This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep a shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Braden?
I can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are here. This is the Freedom Fiends. This is Murder Dog, Jeremy. I am here with Braden.
Hey, hey.
Did we give you a wrestling name yet, Braden?
No, I haven't earned my wrestling championship belt yet.
Well, you have to.
I'm still working on it.
You got to give yourself one, man. I gave myself one to start. I now have like 10 of them that have been given to me along the way. I think I actually surpassed Lou, who originally I think was the only one with three official wrestling names. I just kept getting them tacked on, but I had to choose my first one. So you
chose Murder Dog, right?
No, actually, that Michael named me that one.
Okay.
The Bellicose Bandicoot was my original name.
Bellicose Bandicoot, nice.
Yeah, well, because everybody else had, Michael's the original with the Iron Hamster, and then Lou, I think, had, the Titanium Meerkat and the Chop Shop Rooster and all this stuff. I take care of animals for a living, obviously, and I've mostly deal with canines, but ferrets have actually always been my favorite animal. And from the time that Lou originally asked me to do a guest spot the first time on The Fiends, I started thinking of a possible name for myself just in case I got the call type of deal. Gotcha. Not being too hopeful or anything, but, and I kept thinking around names revolving around a ferret. And it wasn't until I officially got asked by Michael and then was like two shows later, he asked me to come up with a name that I actually went and looked and realized that his wife DJ is actually has a wrestling name that's a ferret. And I was like, I can't take it from her too, although DJ was gracious enough to say that she would be, she would be totally fine with me also being some type of ferret. But I thought that would be just, I didn't feel right about that. I thought that would be rude. So I decided to come up with something a little different, and I thought long and hard, and then I figured I'd be a little creative with it. So Bellicose fits me because I love to argue. I've always loved to argue. I've been told that you should be a lawyer ever since I was like 5 years old, because I've always been about arguing my point very vehemently. So right. I figured Bellicose fit, and I'm a big
Bandicoot?
Fan of I'm a big fan of alliteration when it comes to stuff like
that.
Yeah,
there you go. Sure.
So I was looking for a bee creature, and I could have went with a bear or something like that, but I figured it was kind of like one of those almost like an oxymoron thing. Like, you think of this really argumentative, like almost vicious animal, but instead of it being something like a wolverine or even a bear, it's this tiny little bandicoot. Because nice. I mean, they had the Crash Bandicoot games
I think so.
But Crash looks nothing like an actual bandicoot.
Yeah, it's true.
Actual bandicoots are these tiny little creatures with these kind of like long, like weird longer noses and stuff like that. They kind of look like hamsters or gerbils or something in that family. And they're pretty much harmless. So I figured that was a nice,
it's a good nickname. You've got it's alliteration. The first word's three syllables. The second one's three syllables. It's long, but it rolls off your tongue easily.
Yeah,
it's good.
So I kind of like that. But that quickly got swept under the rug, and they just kept me,
Murder Dog.
Well, Murder Dog came obviously because what I do for a living, and I have a pit bull, or Murder Dog as we refer to him. And I think that actually came up was the first time. I don't remember. I can't remember if it was Michael or it might have been Diana Kyler who found the meme originally. There's a meme with a big, a tan pit bull, and the raccoon sitting on his head that it says, "I love you, murder dog."
Oh,
and,
yeah.
then, and then, "I love you, trash panda."
Trash panda. Yeah.
So it was after we started discussing that on the air that murder dog got attached to me. And then, of course, we've also changed my last name, I think, at least 10 different times, even to one that we're not allowed to say on the radio. Although that one actually was given to me. It wasn't even given to me. It was asked as, I don't know if you've ever heard that story, but
I don't think so.
Well, one of the variations of my last name is now Jeremy Heisen N-word.
Oh, right.
Yes, because Steve Miller came on the air one day and told the story of somebody in his lovely neighborhood of Kensington walking up to him and saying, yo, is that guy on your show's last name really Jeremy Heisen N? But he said the word because that's what he swore it sounded like to him. And now, to this day, I don't know if Steve was making that up or not because he's kind of tricky with that stuff. I don't know. But I like the story and it's funny. It's funny as all get out to me. So,
either way.
Yeah, I go by. So, yeah, so you got to work on something for yourself. That was the point.
All right, man. I can get on that.
That is your homework assignment for tonight. And, you know, hopefully by the next time you come on. I mean, I was told originally that I had to come up with something and then run it by Michael and everybody else would kind of say whether they agreed or not. And then when it came up, he immediately gave me pushback on it. And I was like, but I like the name. He's like, all right, fine, you can keep it. I was like, okay, good.
Okay,
so
cool,
figure out what you want your wrestling name to be.
I will search for my spirit animal. But,
there you go. That's the right attitude. That's what I like to hear.
Hey, man, guess what day it is?
Where I am right now, it's a good day for me. Because it's not Christmas anymore.
Well, where I am, I'm still lingering in the dregs of Christmas over here.
Bah humbug times a million.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Yeah. Christmas is not my thing, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of holidays in general, even less so ever since I become an anarchist. But Christmas has bugged me for a very long time. And even before I became an anarchist, I tried to get my family to stop buying gifts for me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this whole ceremony is ridiculous to me. I think
the ritual of it.
Yeah, the whole, you know, you can say what you want. You can be somebody who wants to follow with the traditions, whether it be through the Christian church or any of those or stuff like that, you know, or, you know, you could be somebody who just, you know, loves the holidays and want, you know, and has kids or has kids around them all the time and wants to, you know, mm-hmm. play up the whole Santa routine and whatnot. But to me, it's ever since I reached a certain point, it just became like the commercialism of it just, you know, became very apparent to me. And the whole just ridiculous nature of everybody, you know, getting together when... And the family and the love and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, that's great, but what are you doing the rest of the year?
Yeah, I hear you. It's it feels kind of forced to me.
Yeah, and that's the perfect word for it, forced, because that's what it became to me. Everything mm-hmm. became forced, mm-hmm. and then I looked back on my childhood and, you know, what I can remember, because I've blocked out huge portions of my childhood. I don't know if it's all the cannabis I've smoked or just my memory. But I know
a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think it's the both, because I blocked that out before I started smoking some of it. But you know, from what I can remember, like you have snippets of memories of stuff like, you know, being forced to go to people's houses that you didn't want to go because that's where everybody was, and like, you know, the rituals of seeing the family. I mean, this goes on in every holiday, you know, other holidays too, but it's just, for me, it's Christmas sticks out even more, where you're like, you know, you're forced to see all these people that you only see maybe once a year, and you got to give the kiss to Auntie whoever, and it's like, no, like, why are we forcing me to do this stuff? This kind of, like, you know, I didn't think of it at the time, but looking back on it, I was like, well, that was horrible. Why would I, like, if I ever have kids, I don't want to subject them to that.
I hear you, man.
So when I
like the
kids,
part, you know, hanging out with friends and having a dinner, that part I don't mind, because I guess I'm, you know, choosing to partake in that. But, you know, the whole being forced issue, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I'm not opposed to having dinner or even getting together at somebody's house to, like, hang out for an evening or something like that with friends or even family. But
it's not a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that
with my friends, we don't, it's just kind of like what we do all the time, except it happens to be on a holiday.
Yeah, you know, And on top of everything else, for me, for the longest time, Christmas was a day off. Mm-hmm. Because I worked a lot of retail jobs and stuff when I was younger, and that was the one day we were closed. Because we, you know, like that and Thanksgiving, like every other day we were open for, and I was always working. So Chris, and especially during the holiday season, if you're in retail, it's almost always busier, and you know, you work more hours. And I was always pushing overtime during the holidays. So when it came time for Christmas Day, that was like my one day to sleep. So I was just like, just leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. Like, you know, the food's great and, you know, seeing everybody's can be nice, but I'm like, I just want a day off because I got to go back to work tomorrow. And then now for the last 11 years now, I've been running my own company where I'm technically open 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, well, it's like, not true. Nowadays, I take 18 days of vacation, but for the first 5 years, I was open every day of the year, and I'm always open on the holidays because I need to be.
Is that your clientele demand it?
Well, yeah, because they want to go. They want to go. People want to go away on the holidays.
They're on vacation.
Yeah, they go to see their family. They go to take trips. They go to do, you know, whatever they're going to do. So they need somebody to watch their animals, and that's what I do. So I have to be around. So I now went from having it be a day off to like, well, it's still a day of work to me. So now it means even less. It's just like, it's literally any other day to me because the only difference is I don't have my regular clientele. Like the people that I do dog walks for who work long hours, like they have off, but everybody else who's on vacation needs me. So like right now I have, let's see, plus, including
booming
my
business, hopefully.
What's that? Well, including my murder dog, I have 7 dogs here. For the week, two of whom were going to be here for a total of 3 weeks, I think, altogether, and then I have multiple clients that I have to go check on their cats and or dogs, you know, either multiple times a day or at least once a day or every other day for the cats, depending on the situation. But I have all those things. So, you know, like today I got up, or no, yeah, I was telling you before we got on the air, I got up. I didn't go to bed last night until 5 a.m. because, I'm a dad, so I had to be putting presents together before my kids woke up in the morning because they're still at the age where if I just give them a box that maybe has a picture on it, maybe doesn't, and then we have to open it up in front of them and then open the box and say, oh, this is the thing that daddy has to put it together. They're not going to wait around for that. They kind of, you know, they're 5 years old. They're going to move on to the next thing and they're not going to care about this present. And I got them an air hockey table. And nice. I was like, well, if I have to set that up that morning, that's not going to be fun. So, yeah. So I've been running for a very long time, but we'll have to talk more about that when we get back from the break.
Yeah. Let's talk some air hockey when we get back.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
No, I understand the law when you should. It's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If you're a real true fiend, gotta collect them all.
Fiends. All right.
Yeah, we're back. Before we went to the break, we were talking about my lack of sleep.
We were.
Yes, we were.
We're both lacking quite a bit of sleep.
We're both lacking sleep.
There's just no sleep. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, I have the kids, so I had to put this stuff together, and one of the things was the air hockey table. So I didn't get to bed until 5 a.m. And then, of course, even though my kids, who usually go to bed between 9 and 10, I don't think went to bed until like 11:30 last night, just because of a bunch of extenuating circumstances and it being Christmas Eve, obviously.
Yeah.
They still, 7:30 this morning, wide awake, running into the bedroom, and it's just like, oh, well,
heck yeah.
Oh, you know, daddy just needed a little bit more, because normally they've been really good. When they stay with me on the weekends lately, they usually let me sleep till 9, which is great. You know, even if they get up at 8, they'll play quietly in their room for a little while before they come bug me and tell me they're hungry and they want to go downstairs and get food. So, you know, I was kind of hoping for that, but no such luck.
You know, Christmas is a... You know, they're anxious to get their goodies. So.
Of course. But yeah, I was lucky. Of all the things they got, because, you know, they have a bunch of aunts and uncles and cousins and, you know, the grandparents, and everybody loves to spoil my girls, which is great. You know, there's a bunch of stuff I don't have to buy for them, because people love to buy things for them or even give things to them. Like my ex takes them to the store. Like, they get handed stuff all the time. Because people just, like, they see, they're like, oh, they're so cute. And I'm like, they just give them stuff. I'm like, well, which is great, because I don't have to spend the money. I think it's setting a really horrible example to my kids. Because they're going to expect that.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a lot earlier than I expected a furries.
I'm just brimming with freaking ideas, and I got to tell them to you guys.
Oh.
Hit me with
You're
it,
ready.
Michael. What
you
do you got?
Ready, you people.
Hi,
you
Michael.
Humans. Yeah. So,
hey, Michael.
What's up, man? So, Braden, can you pull up the bipcoin.org site? And Jeremy, can you pull up? Well, I should probably send you the link.
Bipcoin.org.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then click
I'm on
the right, over on the right where it says All Fiends Posts, and go to the top post about something about ticker symbols. Yeah, because I started writing an angry email to all the Freedom Fiends, and I just decided it'd be easier to send out a...
what
Let's do it on air.
Now?
Let's do it on
Let's
air.
Do it on air. Let's do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay. Lay it on.
So basically,
like,
before the show, you asked me if you and a couple other people could do a Freedom Fiends show on New Year's Eve. You know, was it Google Hangouts? Is that how you're doing it?
We were not sure the technical details. We just wanted to run it by you first.
Yeah, and I said, no, didn't you learn your lesson last time? And what this was based on was, you know, the reason there are stickers that say bad audio is a hate crime is... And I'm just going to state the facts. I'm not trying to rip up old wounds. I'm just saying, like, you know, this, I'm surprised anyone even asked me after that is what I'm saying. Because at Porkfest, you guys recorded something and sent me some audio and said, put this on the Fiends, you know, or whatever. And it wasn't very good audio. And I threw a fit, and you and I got in a fight on the show, and I said, like, all seriousness, I said to you, bad audio is a hate crime. And Jim thought it was hilarious and had stickers and freaking t-shirts made.
Yes, he did.
Which is, you know, so, I mean, the best memes come out of, you know, what would be fist fights if they were in the same room. So, you know, they have that amount of raw, natural emotion. That's the best memes. So, so basically what I'm saying is I don't want something that's not a standard Fiend show going.
Of course. And there Michael leaves.
Oh, no.
Michael got disconnected in mid-sentence.
Oh, his bad audio speech is cut short.
See, that's what he gets for, you know, trying to...
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
he'll be back,
that was
I'm
perfect
sure.
timing, yes. No, but I knew why he was saying, but in my own defense, I'm the one who brought it up to him for a reason, because I'm the one who had the issue with him last time, and that's why I was very specific when I said, if the audio is acceptable, would it
I
be
I did
okay?
hear you say that, yeah.
I did, did I learn my lesson? I absolutely did, because I'm
I
the
imagine
one.
You did.
Oh, I absolutely did.
After all the fuss that was made over it.
Yes. But I think the one, besides the wonderful stickers and T-shirts and buttons and what, everything else that Jim got out of this deal, and the fact that will now be on will be part of my epitaph on my gravestone.
Definitely,
I think that on top of all of that, I think I proved my worth during that experience because I put up with some abuse during 2 weeks that a lot of people I don't think would have. So I think I proved my loyalty to the Fiends by taking my beating. Well deserved. But no. So we'll see if Michael can come back after the break.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Did you find it, Jeremy?
Uh-huh.
You sent it, Braden?
I'm sending.
I got droned.
It's being sent. But you're back now.
All right, I got droned.
Don't get droned again.
I won't get droned again. all right, so I basically gave one of the most impassioned and eloquent speeches not only that's ever been on this show that has ever been given. I had a dream. I was only speaking to myself and my cats, apparently.
I'm so sorry we missed that.
Yeah, well, I'll just angry it up and give it again. So, first of all, I was going to say, I want to yell at Jeremy. I didn't want to, but now I do, because I want to give a, but this is a teaching hospital. This is a news you can use. So, during the beginning of the show, before the show, Jeremy and I were talking about this thing, and I said, yeah, I don't really want to do that, meaning have you guys do a something called the Fiends that's not the Fiends, that may not be the quality of the Fiends, and call it the Fiends or put it on the Fiends RSS feed. I just keep looking at my disconnect button. Am I still on?
You're on, sir.
Maybe you guys
I hear you. Copy that. Yeah.
I was trying not to interrupt.
Yeah. Well, don't interrupt.
I will interrupt.
Yeah. Like I don't know, pick your nose loudly or something. So I'll know I'm on. So it's called a heartbeat in software. It's like the software sends like a pulse every second to let the other thing know it's connected, but you don't hear it, but it keeps the thing synchronized. Phone actually has one, but maybe the heartbeat is... Anyway, no, so I was sending bad packets, but so I was saying at the beginning, before the show, I was saying to Jeremy, yeah, I don't really want to do that. And then I started to explain more, and Jeremy was like, I got it, man. I'm like, well, let me explain. He's like, no, I got it. He was trying to be overly kind and like, I understand, Michael, no means no. I'm not raping you. I'm not touching you. I'm over here. But like he wouldn't let me finish, which was basically, well, let me expand this into something for other situations, because apparently it wasn't clear the first time. Like, I would have thought after the thing at Porkfest that no fiend would ever dare ask me anything resembling that again. I thought I made it clear, but apparently I was so angry that I didn't make it clear, but I was making it clear now. So what I'm saying with the communication news you can use is when someone's trying to say, you know, yeah, I don't want to do something or respond to you, even if there's someone like me who has a habit of rambling, let them talk for a minute. Don't say 3 or 4 times, I got it. Because apparently somebody like me might have something more to say. So I think I said it. Did I make it clear to the audience from what didn't get cut off? I'm not saying, are you hearing me?
No,
children?
Yeah.
I'm saying, did the audience get it?
I believe that between what you were saying and then what I tried to pick up with after you got disconnected, that you did, yes.
Yeah.
That we covered it together.
So like, I kind of feel like in a libertarian paradise, you know, there shouldn't be and wouldn't be intellectual property. But I think the one thing there would be something resembling trademark, but it wouldn't be in the sense of like, you can't use my stuff, but more in the sense of like, you know, it'll be able to be proven easily if someone uses something and imitates something. I want to say, by the way, we talked about that coin, marijuana, cannabis industry coin, XCI.
That
keeps having problems. Mm-hmm. They're still having problems, but they actually said they were sorry to me for borrowing my, you know, couple sentences of brilliance without crediting me, which wasn't a big deal. It was kind of like I was laughing at them about it, but they did apologize, so I will say on here as a follow-up, you know, they did that, and they're cool to me, and they're, thanked me and apologized for thinking I was the problem when I was pointing out the problem. about the large hash powers, which still continues to happen on all crypto coins and seems to be affecting Bitcoin the least.
Were they the same ones that responded to somebody by saying that they were being rude?
Or yeah, when someone else said, like,
"Oh, that was them." Yes,
your transactions don't work. This coin sucks. They said you're rude.
Oh, that was them.
You know, it's basically saying like, you know, I bought your car and it doesn't run, and someone saying you're rude, and you could say, well, the software is free, but when someone mines coin, they're spending money to do it. You know, they're investing in it basically. So
yeah.
So I guess the only thing you really have is your name. And of course, like, your reputation doesn't really belong to you. It belongs to other people. But I think it's kind of, I won't say other people's duty, but I'll say my own duty.
duty.
To at least, like, try to make things clear on a platform that I have nightly when something seems wrong, you know. So I want to talk about, this kind of ties into everything we were just talking about me trying to keep the name of Freedom Fiends, obviously, you know, not Freedom Fiends. Like, if some other show started called the Freedom Fiends, I wouldn't try to sue them. I would write them an email and say, hey, we exist. We've existed since this date. We're on a bunch of radio stations. You should probably change it. And I would probably also say, like, you know, to our networks, the radio network and a couple internet networks we're on, hey, there's this other thing. You probably shouldn't take them because there'll be confusion and they're biting our name. It's called biting in hip hop. It's called joke stealing in comedy. But so somebody basically bit Bitcoin. Somebody stole something from Bitcoin I don't even think did it intentionally, because there's something that actually has more money and more backing than Bitcoin. And they're actually losing money because of this, because people are confusing their coin with Bitcoin and buying Bitcoin for buying this other thing. Bitcoin went from being the top 300, like our market cap went from being $10,000 to being $100,000 today.
Oh, wow.
And it was funny because the way I found out about this was early this morning, like 5 a.m. this morning. Somebody emailed me and said, hey, your coin just got listed on another exchange, which is great because I've been trying to get on more than one since we've been on one. And, and you know, I went to this site, Livecoin, and it said, like, oh, BTC to BIP was the trade pair. And I was like, great. And I started posting about it. I posted about it on BitcoinTalk.org, and some friend of mine who was up, like, said, oh, wait, I just tried to sell some on there. And when you go to, when you have an account and you click, you know, deposit BIP, it says the name of the coin, and it said it was something called BitPark Coin.
What? Which
I think it'd be a great name for like a new wave group, but it's not a cool coin name. But it's also weird because they're using BIP, because what coins do when they go to start a coin is they go to this site called cryptcoinmarketcap.com, I think, is the one that lists everybody. And you just do a search on there, like, hey, is this taken? And if it's not taken, you know, you do a Google search and you poke around a few other places and you find out, you know, hey, it's not taken, and you use it. So Bitcoin Park picked BIP, which really doesn't sound anything like it's connected with Bitcoin Park.
Yeah.
And they also like could have used BCP or BP, Bit Park BPC, Coin, BPC, which is not taken and would make a lot more sense. So go ahead and read this letter. Oh, so Bitcoin. Yeah, I'm looking at Bitcoin. It used to be like around 275, 300 on the top 675 coins. And the market cap was usually between like $7,000 and $12,000. The market cap is $103,000 and its coin number 175.
Wow.
Merry Christmas.
Nice bump.
So they're losing money because people are buying Bitcoin thinking they're buying BitPark coin. And it's not even really a coin. It's an Ethereum contract token, which, you know, is something that's sort of sold as coins, but aren't even like listed on this same page on cryptocurrency market capitalizations on coinmarketcap.com. They're listed on like the asset page, which is a different page on the same site, which also doesn't have them listed. So I wanted to be really clear about this so no one makes a mistake, or so I've done my due diligence. I wrote them on their forum. I told the exchange that they're on, the exchange that we're on, posted it on our website. Like, I've done my, and we're talking about it now. So, I've kept my side of the street clean. Now they're just a filthy other side of the street. So go ahead and read the open letter I wrote to them on bipcoin.org. Yeah, like the world needs more.
There's so many, right. So many BIPs. Yeah, so I'm reading this article here from bipcoin.org. It's the latest one. And it says, Ethereum contract token BitParkCoin is using our ticker symbol, BIP. We've used BIP as our ticker since we released our coin on August 20th, 2016. BIP is even the first three letters of every BIPCoin address and always has been. BitParkCoin used BIP on December 25th. 2016. Jeremy, you want to keep
today,
going?
Today, Christmas. Sure.
Yeah, today.
Yeah, they released their coin on Christmas too. Like, not smart, but okay. Maybe smart.
That's when like people want to hide news updates. They do it on Christmas.
Or they want to hide news updates. Did you say?
Yeah, well, like terrible government proclamations come out on Christmas. Or
yeah, because no one reads the news.
Because no one is paying attention. Yeah.
Good point.
Oh, sorry. We'll go on with the article.
Second hour should be all what the government did today, but go on.
Yeah. All right. So to pick up where Braden left off, BitParkCoin first posted about their ICO on Bitcoin Talk on August 4th, but there was no mention of using BIP. They didn't mention it until a post in November 9th here, and they didn't use it in a commerce.
And these
anywhere.
Are all links. When he's saying here, these are all links.
I apologize. Yes.
You know, I'm basically footnoting the whole thing as I go, so it's not just my word, it's you can check, you know, what they did.
Yes, and it's hyperlinked right there. It's much easier to find, so perfectly placed. And they didn't use it in commerce anywhere, or anywhere you'd even look when using it if a particular ticker is taken, until they got listed December 25th on Livecoin. We first announced using BIP when we launched the coin, and first used it on an exchange when we got added to Cryptopia on October 28th.
Mm-hmm. All right, reading on, it says, I consider this their problem, not mine, and I've asked them to change it. I emailed them and also posted here on their Bitcoin Talk announce thread here. Again, that's a link. I also emailed them that information to them at the contact email address on their website, and I told the one exchange they're on, Livecoin, about it and sent a note about it to coinmarketcap.com.
So BitParkCoin effed up. I've let everyone know that I need to tell, and any confusion after this point is the fault of BitParkCoin alone.
Sounds like it's their dirty side of the street from now on.
Yep, yeah. Sure is. When we come back, we'll have more about where the cryptocurrency world touched me in bad places. Name coin. Shots fired.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hi, have you heard about BIPCoin? Not Bitcoin, but BIPCoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. BIPCoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, BIPCoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. BIPCoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, BIPCoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to BIPCoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org.
Don't talk about it. We can talk about it. Like, oh my God. Yeah, we're
secret,
live.
Secret things.
Oh. Oh my.
You guys see this?
Why? Oh.
take a look here.
Don't do it,
Brandon. Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about it next week. You see it, Brandon?
That's intense. That's intense.
That's horrific. That's the intense mental anguish with which I live every day.
That's rough.
Not really. I'm good. That's rough. I missed a good joke. Like, that was pretty good radio. We went to the break, and Jeremy said, "Yeah, that was good timing." And I was like, "Yeah, I was trying for something better, but I didn't quite make it." You know, we went to the break with me saying, like, you know, what did I say when we went? We'll be back with some more about name.
Oh, you're gonna talk.
Yeah, you were gonna mention names.
And you said you hit the pose perfectly with shots fired.
Yeah, that's what I was referring fired. To. Right, but I was trying in my head to make it to say, yeah, we'll be back with more about other people that don't like me. Namecoin, ooh, shots fired, but they'll never receive the shots if they were sent over a namecoin.bit address because no one can resolve them. All right, so real quick, the price of Namecoin or Bitcoin is also up. So this it was kind of like, I thought it was a Christmas present. Like, I was like, oh my God, we're on another exchange. Finally, this is cool. And then someone figured out it wasn't us and it was another coin using our unique token. But it might be a Christmas present anyway, because a bunch of people sold BIP today and made a bunch of money on it, because the price went up 500% because of this.
Wow.
The price of Bitcoin has been around 0.7 cents, you know, give or take, like a little above and a little below for a long time now.
Yeah.
But it's at like 3.8 cents right now. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sell your,
wow,
drop your BIPs,
I could.
People.
I could.
You could quadruple, you know, pentacladruple.
I would, because I'm pretty sure I managed to snag most of mine at a half a cent or less. Yeah.
Well, if people will buy them, you could sell them right now. I mean, it's a matter of liquidity. People may have already bought what they're going to buy
today. Yeah.
But you could try. Put them up and put them up for 3 cents. You know, they might sell all of them quick. Jeremy, just think if you've actually like invested in something of Michael Dean and made like 5 times your money. That would almost be worth that argument we had.
Oh, you know what, Michael? It's all been worth it. Trust me. Even without the money.
No homo. I like
you. I know.
You
know.
So
I love
really
you,
quick, I'm not going to do the next hour, but so basically the thing I'm trying to do .bip. Doing uncensorable domains over Bitcoin, and I'm trying to raise money to do this. And we have an Indiegogo. You should go there and donate. Go to bipcoin.org and click on the link to go to Indiegogo and donate. And so really it's like trying to do what Namecoin did, but do it well. Like Namecoin did this, but no one can use it because Namecoin made horrible errors that can't be recovered from at this point. And they got really upset about this article Joel did in Cointelegraph the other day, because it basically, like, in the thing, you know, you can't really discuss .bip or decentralized DNS attempts without talking about, you know, how Namecoin got things wrong, because a lot of people think, oh, that's already solved. Namecoin does that. So people stop trying, but they didn't solve it. No one can use it. So read these real quick, these 8 tweets that Namecoin, the official Namecoin Twitter, tweeted at the guy who wrote the article in like 10 minutes the other night.
Unfortunately, it won't show me the rest of
those
tweets.
Oh, go from the bottom to the top. They're wrong order.
I think I've got the bottom one here.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so here's from Namecoin. Failed? Where's your article about all ZeroNet sites which use .bit domains? Try it.
Yeah, ZeroNet, this thing that, like, nobody knows about. Like, you know,
they're
proving my point.
I'm on ZeroNet. I've never seen a .bit on there.
Yeah,
but
do you even know about it?
Most people I know about it. Yeah, I'm less than the 1% here.
Yeah.
All right, so go on. Got like 1 minute. Read them all.
All right, the next one says, also a strange notion to pump a coin by a CT author to slash a coin to pump his own one, ..
That makes no sense.
So I don't know.
Like,
he's
the author owns
coins,
he doesn't.
You're trying to mess with prices, yeah. All right, the next one goes on to say, maybe Namecoin was weak for HTTP, but nearly perfect for ZeroNet. It's your own credibility, CT.
Again, they're making my case. My case is someone needs to do this for HTTP. So
there
go
you
on.
Go.
Yeah.
They actually tweeted today the link, like tweeted at him, the link to the Edsel car on Wikipedia. I'm like, you're making my point. Again, are you saying, I think they're trying to say we're at Edsel, but we've never rolled out from the production line, and they have, so they're the Edsel.
This is true.
Yeah.
They actually started following me after I made I tweeted
they
back
also
to them.
Said, Mr. Dean damaged Namecoin with his bad marketing, but soon it's repaired. I marketed them for a month 2 years ago, so soon
with
they're
good
gonna
audio even.
Yeah. Didn't they stiff you on money too?
Yeah, they tried to wait longer.
Oh, they tried to. That's right.
Their lawyer told them not to stiff me.
That's right.
On a lawyer.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. This is Brayden. I'm here with Jeremy.
Yes.
We are. Also, I should mention the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Yeah. Check it out, BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, man.
We read from in the first hour.
No, we were from BIPCOIN.org in the first hour.
Oh, good gosh.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of the bips and dits and, all that good stuff.
There is a lot of bippiness around here. That does tend to happen. You got to get them all straightened out. But.
Well, it sounds like they're worth more now than they were yesterday. So that's
yeah, cool. We did talk about that towards the tail end of the first hour. Michael hopped on and let us know that because of somebody stealing the... I guess, what is it, the call letters? I don't know.
What is it? Yeah,
The symbol, yeah. I guess it's the symbol.
That's what it is for a stock, yeah.
Yeah, for Bipcoin, which is BIP, some other quasi-coin, I guess he called it, because he said it's more like an Ethereum. I didn't understand that. I'm not crypto savvy enough to understand what that meant.
It's not even a full coin. It's just using the Ethereum network to kind of do something tricky, but yeah, anyway, it's not a full coin.
Yeah, but they started using it, and because of their decision to do that, people have been erroneously buying Bipcoin, which has caused the price of Bipcoin to, I think Michael said, rise 500% in the past day, which, yeah, I mean, I'm sitting on a decent number of bips.
Sitting
I don't
pretty
wanna,
nice.
Yeah, because, you know, Michael helped me procure
Maybe they were buying in for the wrong reasons, but they ended up at the right spot.
Yes.
So it's all good in the end.
Yeah, hopefully they'll stay, and they'll make things happen even quicker for us, which would be great. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on that note, yeah. So Bipcoin, get on it, people, if you haven't.
Get on it.
I've said before, if an idiot like me can figure it out and be able to not only purchase it, but figure out how to mine it with and do all that type of stuff, with it being explained to me, if I can do it, anybody can. So people should get involved. Totally. Anyway, one of the other things we were talking about in the first hour was my decision to ask Michael about... some of us doing a New Year's Eve show and having it put up on the the podcast feed at some point. And, you know, he correctly pointed out that, you know, something bad happened the last time. But he did send me an email after he left that he did want me to read on the air. And he said that if we do the show on New Year's Eve and we don't, you know, we obviously, it's not going to be a Freedom Fiends episode, but we should call it, this is not a Freedom Fiends episode because Michael Dean is a big, dumb party pooper. So, Nikki, if you're listening, I think I'm good with that. So, you know, I've already, Nikki Darling said she was looking to do something, try to put something together, and a couple other people were involved talking about it. And I said, hey, I have no life. I can do that because I will most likely be here. My kids will probably be here, but they'll be asleep, and I'll most likely be just hanging out with most of the dogs that are still here right now. I think I said it in the first hour. If not, we were talking before the show. But you know, I currently have 7 dogs here right now, and nice. Most of them will. I think actually all of them will still be here on New. Or no, actually no. 2 of them will be getting picked up that night on New Year's Eve. But the other 5 will still remain. So we'll have a full doggy house here for New Year's Eve.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's usually the way it is. We used to do party hats and stuff for the dogs, but they really got mad at me for that. And I couldn't blame them because I'm usually somebody, I hate when people put clothes on pets. I mean, for like, you know, if you want to do it for cute, like Halloween pictures every once in a while, fine, whatever. But like the people that make their animals wear clothes all the time, like it's always bothered me when...
It's a bit strange, yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, I get it with like, it started with like little dogs that are like, you know, shiver all the time. Mm-hmm. So people feel bad and they, you know, they
give them a jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I get, believe me, as a dog walker, you know, for part of my business, I understand like raincoats and stuff like that, or, you know, winter type coats, if you're going to be taking them out in like really, you know, brutally cold weather, just cause they have to go to the bathroom, you know, that's fine. But you know, like I said, the people that keep them on all the time and like change their outfits constantly, they drive me up a wall. When I worked at Petco, it would drive me insane because I started out as the stock manager, and I was in charge, you know, I was in charge of all the stock, and I had to stock the shelves for these things. And people, aside from the fact that I was annoyed, the fact that people would purchase these things and put them on their animals in the first place, it was equally annoying because people would come in and try them on their dogs or cats in the store. Because the Petco policy is you can, you know, Petco where the pets go. That was the tagline for the longest time. I think it still is. And so you were, you know, they were the first, like, one of the first places, the chain places that allowed you to bring your pets to the store. And
so they would
so they would try them on.
Too bad they didn't have it. Now, did they have a dressing room for their outfits?
No, there was no doggy dressing room, which of course, you know, does make sense because they usually came in nude. It's kind of like the whole idea of Donald Duck, like when he takes a shower and he puts a towel on the his bottom half, like why? Because he doesn't wear pants normally.
That's like, a good point. You
know, why did they do that? So yeah, the dogs were naked. But the dogs are naked. Why would they have a dressing room? But no, what they would do is they would try them on the dogs, but then they wouldn't put them back in the packages.
Yeah,
because they came in like those little, like, you know, plastic semi vacuum seal packs that have like the two little clasps on the top, like the two little snaps on the top of it. You know, kind of rigid construction, which it's not impossible by any means to get these outfits, coats, sweaters, whatever it was, back in these little packages. But, you know, most people, do you think they bother to take the time to do that? No.
Nah.
So these clothes would be all over they would start off all over the display, and then they would just sort of like expand to like, you know, the next aisle, and then you'd find them a couple aisles down, and then you'd be finding clothes clear across the store. And I worked in retail for a very long time, so I understand, you know, that's just part of the business with, like, you know, people being horribly messy because it's not their place. It's kind of like, it's almost like the tragedy of the commons, but it's not, because it's a private establishment. Right. But people treat it like it's like, you know, they don't
care.
The
commons,
yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, so I understand that aspect of it, but it just made me hate these clothes more than I already did.
So you moved a lot of pet outfits while you worked at the store?
Yeah.
That blows my mind that people have time to spend not working and dressing up their animals. That just is crazy to me.
Well, see, I live on Long Island, which not all of it is like this, but especially on the north shore of Long Island, in both Nassau and Suffolk counties, which is what makes predominantly up Long Island. I mean, Queens is technically on Long Island, but nobody that lives here calls Queens part of Long Island. There's a whole big thing about that. Anyway, but there's money up on the North Shore. And of course, out on the Hamptons, where, like, you know, you hear about the star, you know, all the stars, the celebrities that have the house out the Hampton and the Hampton Bays and all, like, all, you know, West Hampton, all that. All the, what, I can't remember which Hampton it actually is that they all hang out in, but any one of those. But on the North Shore of the island, for the most part, there's a decent amount of money to, you know, to be had. And I have met a bunch of these people first through working through Petco and then running my pet sitting business because I have clientele that is up there. And, you know, some obviously great people, and I've been very lucky. There's a lot of them on my client roster. But there's plenty of people out there that will just throw money at their animals.
Okay.
And not in the way that, like, you know, like me, like I would throw money, like, for vet bills. I have spent like countless thousands upon thousands of dollars on my dog and all my other animals. My ferrets were the worst. I mean, I spent I probably spent more money on my ferrets than I did on a couple of my dogs combined, which was insane. But I also had a lot of ferrets, but that's a whole nother story. But you know, they're it's expensive.
Interesting. You know, yeah. I have a cat. I think I've spent maybe a few hundred dollars on her the whole time I've had her. I adopted her, and I don't know. She just takes care of herself. She's cheap.
Cats. Go ahead.
No, that was it. Just cats are easy.
Oh yeah, cats are pretty self-sufficient. I mean, I had a cat that lived to be my two cats ago lived to be, I think, 21. Or just shy of 21, and at somewhere around 18, 19. Tried to jump over the chain link fence that separated our yard from the neighbors and apparently got caught.
Oh, and, like, no.
Ripped the flap of her, ended up ripping a flap of her neck open. Oh, where I could see her, like, trachea and everything.
Oh, no. Yeah, and that's.
I took her to the vet and they sewed her up and she was perfectly fine and lived another three years after that. This cat was like indestructible, and she lived outside for the most part. But she was like indestructible. She was part Maine Coon. So she had the crazy woolly, super ridiculously thick hair, but it wasn't as long and she was nowhere near as tall. Because like an actual, like a full bred Maine Coon is like a mini bobcat kind of.
Yeah.
They're big animals. They're not like the domesticated short hair that most people picture when they think of a cat.
Yeah,
you know, they dwarf, you know, they make a Siamese look like a midget, you know. You know, they're big animals. So she wasn't that big, but, you know, indestructible.
Wild beasts.
You know.
That's cool.
My last cat, he lived to be almost, he was just shy of 19, and he had liver and heart issues that I was told with the heart issues at like 10 years old, and then the liver issues at like 14, 15 years old, that if certain things weren't done, he wasn't going to last very long. And the hard stuff I did for a while, and it then became too difficult because I was stressing him out more in order to get the pills in him, because we tried everything. We tried liquids, we tried ear stuff, we tried every kind of variation, never, like, nothing worked. And pills were the only way, and I would stress him out more pilling him. That finally one day I remember looking at him like I was halfway under my bed as I was trying to I had him in one hand and I had the pill in the other. And like I literally looked at him and I was like, Beezer, dude, I'm done, man. You know what? I love you. I don't want you to die, but we can't do this anymore.
Oh, man.
I'm like, I'm not gonna give you the pills. I give up.
Yep.
And I did. And you know what? I switched vets, and a couple of years later, they asked me to run a, you know, maybe you should get a heart test on him because, you know, some other things were looking weird. He was getting older, and they did. No signs of the heart problem that he had before, that he was supposed to be on this medication, that he was going to die if he did. So, like, he survived that liver thing, same thing. He outlasted that. It finally got to his kidneys, and then it knocked him out. But again, just shy of 19 years, so.
So you healed him with your compassion. Nice.
But cats, yeah, man. They're almost indestructible.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Yakking about cats before we went to the break.
Yep, we love the kitties.
Yeah. I was saying during the break, this is actually the longest stretch I've gone in my life without having a cat. It's been a little over 2 years now. It's kind of weird because even though I've always considered myself a dog guy for the most part, I mean, I've never had a problem with cats, but I've always considered myself a dog guy. I've always had at least one cat in my life, you know, like there was, you know, when I was born, I think my parents got a cat shortly thereafter, and then we were up to three at one point, I think. Yep. And then, you know, after they either passed away or, you know, or whatever happened, I think one ended up having to go to a shelter for some reason during a move, but they, you know, we ended up getting more. And then there was like, yep, my younger sister's cat who ended up pretty much living in my bedroom when I was younger because they didn't want to put the litter box anywhere else except the basement. And well, I lived in the basement. It was just something I kind of always did ever since I was born in New York. I moved to New Jersey. They moved me to New Jersey after I think a year old, and then like a year and a half later they moved me to Pennsylvania, and then like within a couple of years I had been put down in the basement, and I kind of liked it down there. And just because, you know, they wanted to give me more space, and I was willing to do it, and I was just like, sure, I'll go down to the basement. So they put me down in the basement, and I left it down there. And then we moved to a new house, and there was an opportunity to take a basement bedroom, and I was like, well, of course. So yep. I just kind of always liked being in the basement
with the kitties.
Yeah, but because I was in the basement in the second house, the only place to put the cat would put the litter box, because my mom was also running a nursery school out of our basement and what used to be our garage, the only place to put the litter box was in my bedroom. So
it's
the
cats, a little rough.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it was in the closet, and you know, but it was just, yeah, but it became, of course, my responsibility to clean it, because you think my sister is going to bother to come down to my bedroom and actually clean up after her cat. No, this is the actress, who I do love dearly, but you know, she's always been a little eclectic and always wanted things that she wasn't necessarily willing to put the time and effort into. Although she's grown up now, and she's about to have a child, so I think she's past that now. I sure hope so. Cool. I'm kidding, you know, not that she'll ever listen to this, but if you do, Court, you know, she's great with my kids, so I'm sure she'll be wonderful. Yeah. but I had to take care of her cat back then. You know, like I said, his litter box was down there. His food and his water obviously ended up down there too, eventually, and he slept on my bed.
So right,
but my sister, cat. Yeah, but my sister would get mad if I called him my cat. And I was like, he like lives with me in the basement, and he also would like, you know, I mean, I thought he loved me, although couple of times I did wake up to the, you know, people tell you hear the horror stories that you're waking up to find the cat, your cat on your face. And if you hadn't woken up, you might have suffocated, because I woke up to find him sleeping like across my nose and mouth a couple of times, and I was like, Spunk, are you trying to kill me, dude? Like, that's not cool. I'm the only one who takes care of you around here.
That's too funny. Now, my cat doesn't do that, but she will sleep right on my chest and like put her nose like right in my face, like right up to my nose, in my mouth almost. So she doesn't try to kill me, but she just tries to get like as close as she possibly can in my face. So that's her move. Good stuff.
Well, see, I have my dog for that. Murder Dog does like to spoon.
Oh, good.
She's gotten she hasn't gotten as needy about that as she's gotten older. But she used to love to, like, if, you know, if she lays, if once I started letting her sleep on the bed with me, because it was something I swore I would never do. I swore when I got this dog, because I was already running the business, that I was going to do things right this time. I was not going to let her on the furniture. I was, and I think I've told this story before. She was so cute when she was a puppy. I have my bed up on those, like, little stilt thingies that you have for in, like, space saving situations, so you can store stuff under the bed. They have, like, little canister things you put under the wheels. So I've always had that ever since I had, like, my tiny little room in my grandmother's place, and I just kind of brought them with me wherever I went. So, like, when I first moved here, even though I had the big, you know, I had the big master bedroom, I still put my bed up on the stilts because I was used to being up that high. And she would, like, as a puppy, she kept trying to jump and she would miss. She would keep trying to jump, but she would miss. So the first time she got up there, she was so proud of herself, and I was just like, all right, fine, you can stay. But as she got bigger, she would, like, you know, if she would get near me, and if I would, like, say her name, the tail would start going, and she would, like, inch her way closer and closer and closer, until the point that she was literally trying to, like, get in that position where she was, like, nudging her, like, rear, like, her back into, like, my stomach and stuff. Like, she was trying to, like, nuzzle up, and she was happy as anything, as long as, you know, she'll lay there for hours if I sit there and scratch her belly and stuff, and just, like, yeah. So, murder dog likes the spoon. So, what are you gonna do? Cat won't do that, though. Cat would never spoon with me. Sleep on my head. Sleep on my pillow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Freedom Fiends. Meow. Hey, this is Brayden. I'm here with Jeremy. This is the Freedom Fiends.
That's us.
How are you doing there, Jeremy?
I am good. I am good. I am good.
Nice to hear. Yeah. Hey, so I came across this really neat article earlier today. It's one of those infographics, so we're going to do, you know, classic Freedom Fiends here, where we're describing visuals over the audio radio waves.
Yes, pictures on the radio.
Pictures on the radio. I'm not sure how good I'll be with that, since I'm a new fiend. But anyway, this is one of those infographics that tells you, you know, information visually. And this is a map of the U.S., and on each state, it calls out who the highest paid employee is in each state. So, and we'll link this in the Freedom Fiends show notes, by the way, so everyone can play along at home. Yes. But you'll, when you first pull this up, you might be surprised to notice that almost all the states, the highest paid public employee is some form of a coach. Most of them are football coaches. So, I don't know, it's sort of telling in a lot of ways about sort of our society and who we value most. What do you think about that, Jeremy? Bread and circuses.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great way to summarize it in three words.
Well, see, it's interesting, like, because, like, when you first sent this to me, I looked at it and I was like, wow. And then I thought about it for a while and I'm like, well, that really shouldn't shock me, because I used to be a huge follower of college sports. Like, I grew up a St. John's basketball fan, and for some kind of weird fluky reason, a Tennessee Volunteers football fan. And I just rooted for these teams. Like, I was very heavily invested in, like, following what they were doing and all this stuff. And, you know, I know the college world to an extent, that I know the price tags that the coaches are getting these days. I mean, it's been a few years. I've talked about before that I've kind of stepped away from the sports balls. The more I've come down this path to anarchy, not because I have anything against them necessarily. It's just because I don't have the time. And I would rather, instead of, like, I'm somebody who used to watch at least 50 to 75 Yankee games a year on TV, like, actually watch the full majority of the game. I was that invested into watching, like, boring baseball games. But
you know how many Yankee games I've watched in my entire life?
Probably less than a handful.
That would be zero. Yeah. Wow. So your 70 something a year is an incredible amount.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, I grew up a Yankee fan. What do you mean?
Yeah. I get fandom and everything, but it never, to me, it doesn't make sense to kind of like join imaginary teams and root for them. So,
Well, I mean, I kind of look at it that way now, but I feel bad because I don't want to disrespect anybody who's just fell into it. I don't want to disrespect people either.
Yeah.
I understand it. Like, cause I was there and it, like I said, for me, my interest shifted and my time, like, you know, between my kids, my business and other things I want to do, I kind of had to make a decision and it was easy for me to part with it. Cause at first I took it in a negative light. Cause I saw the nationalism that's, promoted through the major sporting, leagues, like, you know, the Major League Baseball and especially the NFL. The NFL is horrible with it. You know, just the in your face, you know, nationalism and stuff that they shove down your throat. And, but then also the kind of, like you were describing, like the fevered nature of the fans, where they're so like involved, like, oh, we lost or we won or this is horrible, like people crying over lost games and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, there's more to this life, man. Seriously.
Yeah, it's true.
But I was there. But again, I was there at one point, so I understand.
Gotcha. Yeah, and just to be clear, you know, sports ball may not be my thing, but I've been like the rabid fan of other things in my past. So, you know, it's not like I'm immune and better than anyone else. It's just
Well, of course.
Yeah. So anyway, just to clear that up.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, yeah. So, like, part of me is I guess I have mixed feelings about this map because, you know, most of these highest paid people are football coaches, and I'm kind of like, well, gosh, that's sort of a waste of resources or whatever. But then the other part of me is like, okay, good. Like, the government's not spending money on, you know, terrorizing their subjects. Like, they're kind of frivolously giving it to these coaches. So it's like, well, I'd rather have football coaches than tyranny. So,
well, I would definitely rather have football coaches over tyranny as well. Although I don't think they're skimping on the tyranny. I think they're still finding a way to do that, and they're also paying these.
Yeah, it sometimes feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was trying to get to before I sidetracked myself. Well, you know, Michael's not here, so I feel somebody needs to interrupt themselves constantly.
You're right.
So I'll take that lead tonight. And but that's what I was trying to get to is that, you know, I should know this because, you know, college football, you know, and stuff. I know how high these people get paid, and that's what it is. It's the state universities that pay, you know, the big names. Like, especially in football, like, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, like all these state school, like every school with a state on it, these are tax funded universities.
Right.
That's what they are. And these big name schools, you know, the teams in the big, you know, in the Big Ten and the SEC and the, you know, the, I guess the ACC to a lesser extent. I don't remember all the big, it's been so long. I forget all the big ones.
Yeah.
It used to be the Pac-10. I don't even know what it is. Pac-12, Pac-22. I don't know what it's up to now. Anyway.
Yeah. One of those packs.
Yeah. All these, you know, the bigger schools and they pay these coaches, you know, in order to land the big name or in order to keep the name that gets them the great recruiting, they shell out all this money and which helps them bring in even more money to the school, which I know is the general idea of it, but of course the thing that still to this day bothers me the most about college football is that, you know, they basically milk these kids for all this, because the kids don't see any money out of it.
The kids don't get paid, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the kids still don't get, as far as I know, they still don't get paid. They still don't get revenue from, like, sure, jersey sales or anything. Huh. I think that's still, I'm pretty sure that's still the way it is.
Do they get, they probably get tuition or, like, scholarships or something, right?
Well, most, well, all the big name stars, of course, are almost always scholarship players, but they're not getting, you know, they're out there playing a sport, which, okay, fine, you know, your college competition is one thing, but when the college itself is making millions and millions and sometimes billions of dollars in revenue from people, you know, from charging ticket prices to the stuff they sell, you know, the merchandise they sell with the players' numbers and or names on it, whatever it is, you know, that they own all the rights to, you know, a lot of these bigger schools have these insane TV packages where they're getting paid, you know, for broadcast their games and stuff like that, for exclusive rights. And yeah, it's an amazing business model, because they're I normally hate the term exploitation, because, you know, whenever I hear it, it's usually coming from a communist who doesn't understand much. And I say that because I am not somebody who hates on all communists. I've actually had rational conversations with certain communists, certain anarcho-communists, but the ones who just spout off the words exploitation, like an SJW would spout off racist, you know, like those type of people. So I'm so used to hearing that word and hating it, but there's no other way to kind of explain it than they're exploiting these. I mean, yeah, okay, yes, to a certain extent do these kids know what they're doing,
sure,
that what they're getting into, sure, you know, but I mean, if you put together with the, you know, how they got indoctrinated in the lower level schools on their way up there, and you're talking about these stars who are getting scholarships and having you know, having the idea of all this money because they get tempted with, oh, come to this school because we'll prepare you and get you in the NFL in like a year or two and you'll be making all this money. So it's the idea of this. So, you know, you got this 18-year-old kid who's been treated like a god for his high school career, wherever he was, you know, and then gets, you know, courted and wined and dined to go to colleges and all this stuff. You know, you understand why are they aware of it? Yeah, on a certain level, but it's, you know, I can remember myself at that age, and if all that stuff had been flashed in front of me, I would have signed on any dotted line they gave me. I just went, okay, yeah, sure, whatever you say.
That would have been, I don't know about you, but that situation would have been really bad for me at that age. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I would have signed anything. I just would have, let's do it. And I just would have got myself into so much trouble.
I went to high school in Texas, and boy, football is a big deal down there. I know exactly what you mean with the wining and dining and the grooming for college, and then, you know, the NFL later. Like, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about that a while ago. I think it was on the Fiends. It might have been on my podcast. Well, the fact that, like, it was something in Texas about the fact that there was I think we did talk about it. It might have been with Lou. We talked about it. There was this there's these rivals schools that are like outdoing each other with like something billion dollar stadiums, and like or whatever it is, and like they're literally one upping each other back and forth.
Yeah, it's rivalries are strong. It's for sure.
Yeah, and it's almost all tax fund, tax funded stuff, which gets us back to what we're talking about with this article. So yeah, it's not surprising, but yeah, to a certain extent, the bread and circuses. I agree with you that it's better that the money goes there than somewhere else. But the problem is, it's going somewhere else.
It still
and
goes
here.
Somewhere else. Yeah.
So it is kind of insane that this type of stuff, that's, you know, that money gets allocated for stuff like that. I mean, yeah, you said the map. You look at it. I mean, there's only what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 8,
yeah, like maybe
nine
eight
states.
Or 10, yeah.
No, just 10, because there's a tiny little Delaware in there too. So 10 states that the highest paid public employee is not
a
basketball or a football coach. And the majority of the ones that are football coaches. You know, of the other 40, it looks about like at least 30 of them are football. About 10 of them are basketball, and one of them is split between Minnesota split between the two, because that makes sense. Yep. They have, I know they're huge.
They have a
basketball
big basketball team. Yeah.
Yeah, and they also have a lot of football stuff, but.
All this is, you know, I'm not complaining about them spending lots of money on football coaches. That's fine. If they're worth $5 million a year or whatever, great. But it just seems odd that, or not odd, but sort of wrong that tax dollars would be forcibly collected and then spent on this thing. They should privatize these schools, and then they can spend however much they want on these football coaches.
Well, yeah. And there's plenty of private schools. I mean, they still have to conform to the rules and everything else that everybody else plays.
Right.
But there are you know, like the Ivy League schools. Those are all private, right? Yeah, Yale, Harvard, Columbia. You know, they have their programs. There's other ones in the, you know, because the Ivy League is usually kind of separate in most things, except basketball. I guess they usually compete for the NCAA, but other ones, you know, and other ones are usually in like the Division III in football and stuff like that. But plenty of other schools that aren't state schools. You know, like Duke, you know, states, you know, things like that. They're private universities, and they exist, and they do just fine. I mean, heck, Mike Krzyzewski was getting paid a lot of money for a long time over there.
Cool.
It gets done.
You know, it's also telling it's not like the governor, for example.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So we are back for the final segment. Try to get a little redemption after
sweet redemption.
In the last segment, we were, you know, being depressed by the fact, well, semi-depressed by the fact that these college coaches are making the most money of it at any public employee, which is good and bad. It's a little less money going to all the other bad stuff, but they still might find a way to do the bad stuff. So I think it's a lose-lose. But so we're going to try to move on to something a little more positive.
Yeah, and what you got?
Yeah, we got this article. Well, Michael had actually sent this to me originally, but I don't think I hope he doesn't mind us talking about this one without him. But this comes from rightsbrigade.com, and it's basically an outreach. It's a call to an outreach campaign for jury nullification in 2017 in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And they are, you know, trying to take donations and trying to get the step up their efforts, because this particular post starts off by saying, well, first of all, it will be regularly updated during this campaign. And according to this, it was updated a couple of days ago. And since it's Christmas, I'm sure we'll, you know, give them a break for the fact that they haven't updated it since then. But hopefully there'll be more updates soon. But it starts off saying, previously, we informed thousands of jurors of their right to not nullify bad laws, reaching 10 of the 11 courthouses around New Hampshire. Which actually you were remarking during the break that you were surprised that there's only that many courthouses in New Hampshire.
Right. Yeah, and, I live in Colorado. There's probably many more courthouses here. But anyway, there's 11 in New Hampshire, so that makes it easy.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a lot of square mileage in that state. It's kind of tiny. So they said, while we're very proud of our work, we were only able to consistently cover a handful of courthouses. This January, that changes.
Nice.
Starting in 2017, we're announcing our goal to educate every single potential juror in New Hampshire about jury nullification. This will require consistency, tenacity, and solid organization, as well as at least a handful of dedicated activists. Since the first day of jury nullification, jury selections will happen simultaneously at 7 courthouses across the state. Hmm. However, we believe we can do it. We also believe that if we can keep up these results month after month, we've successfully proven that an efficient activist army can do a whole lot of good with a whole little funding. We'll then be able to replicate these results in other areas, running circles around well-funded and established advocacy organizations.
Boy, that's a noble goal. I really am in support of that.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I hope I'm not reading Michael wrong, because he posted this, and I think he said he wanted to talk about it. I don't think he wanted to bash them for any reason. Gosh, I hope not. But no, I'm just kidding. I think, I love this idea, and I have spoken about this before. I mean, I know James Babb, who we do know, is actually connected with FIJA, the Fully Informed Jury Association, and they're I don't know if this is actually an offshoot of that organization or this is something separate. I don't think it actually says, but in any case, they're an organization that gets out and does this in pamphlets and tries to inform as many jurors as possible about of their you know, quote unquote rights as a juror, which most people are not aware of the fact that you can actually vote not guilty because of the law being bad. Right. Not because you believe the person broke the law or didn't break the law, simply because you believe the law is unjust. And most people are completely unaware that in this amazingly crooked and corrupt system that we find ourselves in the current year of almost 2017, way back when all this stuff started, that was kind of the idea of, like, you know, the honest court system and the jury selections.
Yeah, it was just another check on the powers that be, the ability for jurors to do this kind of thing.
Exactly. And in a lot of, you know, in most courthouses across the country, it's not, the jurors are not not made, this is not made known to them. I believe in New Hampshire, they're actually, they may have actually finally got a pass that's required they have to say it.
Nice. Well, even if it's not required, these guys are going to help them get informed anyway. So, right.
Yes.
On.
So, yeah, I fully, you know, this obviously will be in the show notes too, but I obviously support any organization that does stuff like this. I have said before that I will not personally do jury nullification only because I cannot afford to with my business and my family. I literally cannot afford to take off in an amount of time for $30 a day or less, and potentially lose clients over it. So I cannot personally do it, but I do encourage anybody who can to do so. You know, because if you have the time, why not? You know, if there's a chance to get somebody free of some BS charge with a victimless crime, you can make their entire life.
Yeah. So absolutely, good stuff. Worms.